Friends, we have now come to the last major division in the book of Isaiah. And if you have your Bible and will turn with us to the 40th chapter, and we begin now this last major section. And the contrast between the first and the last here, in the first 35 chapters, we had a revelation of the sovereign on the throne. Now we have a revelation of the Savior in the place of suffering. We saw the crown in chapter 6. And in this section, in chapter 53, we'll see the cross. The first section was the government of God, and this section is actually the grace of God. And this section here, I do want to say, is a very, very important section, and you shouldn't consider the first section without this last section. Now, we have in chapter 40 a message of comfort from God, the Creator, the Savior, and the Sustainer. Now, the message is changed, but not the messenger. And, of course, here is where the higher critics came along, and they said, well, that the subject is so entirely different that we must have two Isaiahs. Well, why not have two subjects? Or a message changed rather than having to change the messenger and have two Isaiahs? And actually, of course, that is what it is. I could give a very, I think, simple illustration. It has been my custom to write on the different books of the Bible and different subjects in these books. I have, for instance, a little book on the second Psalm. What is this world coming to? Judgment, of course. And then I have a message on the 22nd Psalm, and that's the X-ray of the cross. Now, the subjects are altogether different, and it has prompted one or two folk that have written to me and one or two of my friends that have said to me, how in the world could you write on one subject and then turn around and write on that which is almost contrary to it? It's the opposite. Well, may I say to you, Psalm 2 and Psalm 22 are entirely two different subjects, but written, by the way, by the same individual. And that is not something that's unusual. And that's what we have here in this particular section. Now, we come to this in this section here, and I probably should call attention to it at the very outset, and that is that though the message is one of comfort, not judgment, we are going to see in this section God is revealed as Creator and a Savior and a Sustainer. And He'll not be the great unknown to His people. He'll be a very personal God, very much of a reality. And you will find running through this section a polemic against idolatry. And very frankly, it becomes very sarcastic in places. Isaiah, he flourishes a mean pen at times as he makes his attack upon idols, because that was the great sin of Israel. You see, when God called Abraham, He called him out of a home of idolatry to serve the living and true God. And from Abraham, a nation that was to witness to the unity of the Godhead. Hear, O Israel, the Lord Jehovah, your Elohim, Jehovah, your plural God, is one Jehovah. That was their message to the world in that day. Now, the church, of course, in the midst of atheism, not polytheism, is to witness to the Trinity today. This is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. We are to know God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we know the Holy Spirit when He's taking the things of Christ and showing them unto us.